Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Checkout. You know it's a podcast. Get it on your platforms, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, all of our shows archived on our homepage at checkoutjazz.org and produced at WBGO 88.3 FM in Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Well, hopefully this is coming to you in a safe, secure space, listening in comfort, and hopefully there's lots of love around you. Well, I reached across the Atlantic to speak to a very special musician who might be able to help us in this time of crisis. He's a pianist and a composer by the name of Nduduzo Makatini, who was actually recently signed to the Blue Note record label. But he's also a spiritual healer, a traditional healer known in Southern Africa as a Sangoma. And on today's show, he's going to prescribe for us some healing strategies that we can all take into our hearts and minds during these unsettling times. And he'll also take us on his own journey of how he became a Sangoma. In fact, he really didn't even have a choice in the matter. And hopefully he will guide us all to find a little healing within ourselves by the end of the program. And I really want to encourage you all to listen closely in the background, because there's some thunder rumbling while Nduduzo talks during very mysterious points.
There was a call from some of the elders.
I'll just say there are some mystical moments that occur during this edition of My Music.
And this was the response from the rest of the congregation.
Thanks for checking in.
Greetings to you all. My name is Nduduzo Makatini. I'm a pianist, composer, healer, educator, and improviser. And I'm speaking to you right now from South Africa. Before I get into my story, I would like to first address you, the listener, who may be listening currently in isolation, alone, and hopefully in good health, but cut off from the world, which in many ways goes against the sort of cultural space that I'm speaking from. Being safe, for instance, has to do with aloneness. Culturally, we understand being safe as being with the people. In many ways, what is currently happening doesn't only challenge our bodies, you know, our health, but it also just challenges the very construct of how we imagine a community. Given this kind of outlook, then I also wonder about the role of music. All of us are caught in this fear of what does tomorrow hold. We should also be asking what has happened in the past and looking back into our histories and thinking, how did our ancestors deal with such situations? And this is where I really want to locate the role of sound, you know, in ancient times. I put out a record which I called Ikambi, which in English would basically mean a healing concoction. And within this record, what I was really trying to explore was what would be the equivalent of sonic concoctions, putting together of sounds that could produce very sort of direct healing energies. Our music in this current time brings some level of calmness, some level of peace, and some level of hope. And maybe also this will help us as artists to start like being a bit more deliberate about how this healing is then channeled in our music and how we code these particular energies and these vibrations in our sonics. while all other fields are looking for solutions. But I think we might find that a lot of the solutions are already encoded in the music. I'm really thinking that in these moments, we should be going even deeper in the sonics and make an effort to find this healing. All the healing vibrations are already embedded. They already inside the sonics. Let's all just go in and find our healing. What is ubungoma? Ubungoma is a practice of healing. You know, so one goes through different stages from when you receive the gift, whether through a dream or a vision, or another older sangoma tells you that you have a gift, they are sent to you by your ancestors. Then the next process is that called ukuthwasa. Ukuthwasa is basically that chip from the underworld. And that process is basically whereby the initiate goes underneath water and lives there for a couple of days. And over the years, this has been reduced to a mere myth or superstition. But these are some of the things that some of us have gone through. And the messages from the underworlds are not communicated to human beings, not unless those particular human beings belong to a particular hierarchy within that culture. So then isangoma is someone that graduates from wetwasa, that becomes a healer. Some people then, as sangomas, are given the gift of bones to divine using bones, which is something that I try to juxtapose in my piano playing, seeing that, you know, the piano also uses ivories. And I think I'm led to that for a particular reason with regards to my artistic practice. Some people use something called umlozi. Basically a whistling spirit that whistles from the corner of a particular household where they have a sangoma and there is umsamu. So basically this spirit uses a whistling sound to relay particular messages. I'm going to use this flute to just demonstrate how this would sound. in some cultures they call this ventriculism, but I don't really believe that that's the equivalent word for umlozi. Umlozi is then translated by a sangoma who has a gift of interpreting this particular voice of an ancestor. There are so many various forms of how then people use different instruments to divine and to produce a healing energy. Some people, like my grandmother, use water to heal people. So it's different things. And I guess, like, you know, what I'm proposing here is a hybridism of all of these modes and these various registers of healing. And again, as I speak, you know, the sound of thunder keeps, you know, hitting. And I don't believe it's any coincidence. There is a deeper synchronicity and a kind of totality in the things that we do, the work that we do with the broader works of planetary work. And again, looking at the word ngoma. So ngoma is a word that is used a lot in the Bantu-speaking cultures. So the word could mean anything between the drum, the process of healing. Ngoma also means dance. Ngoma means song. So there is this kind of totality in our words that gets lost when we try to translate. So I think there is still a need to invent even new, maybe English words that would try to respond to this totality that's embedded in African words. Things are not disconnected. You cannot extract healing from singing, from jamming, from dancing. It's all a totality. It's an energy field. Oh, My name is Nduduzo Makatini, and you're listening to my music on The Checkout. So I'm brought up in a Zionist church. So the Zionist church is a very interesting hybrid. When, you know, the missionaries came, they introduced Christianity, but then people had a pre-colonial sort of take to spirituality and a God construct. So the Zionist church weaves between these two modalities in such an interesting way that it acknowledges the idea of a God biblically, scripturally, but it also acknowledges the presence of the ancestors as sort of divinities that connects us to God. So in terms of how music was introduced there, for me it was always a spiritual dimension. We had a lot of cheese as well. I grew up in a semi-rural space. So lots of cheese, humming. I think those were my first musical sort of experiences. Counterpoint between birds and stuff. So really natural sound where there was less radio. I mean, I got to listen to radio much later. So there was a lot of like sonic, cosmic sounds that surrounded me. Basically, it's just like conversations of like all cosmic energies, like how water speaks to the mountains and the streams and everything. And I like using the word echo because I grew up hearing a lot of echoes. So if someone was taking cows to the river to drink, you know, the only way they would let the other guys know that now it's time to take the cows back was through like whistling. It would travel, so you didn't necessarily hear the direct sort of sound, but it was important to be attentive to an echo. And echo was assisted by the sort of landscape, the mountains and everything. So this is how I try to understand sound even today. When I hear the saxophone, for me, I hear it as traveling through a particular landscape. And those kind of things is what I bring to jazz, and they construct how I define my own sort of articulation. When I hear a big band, I see a lot of landscapes even. It's like, oh well, man, that trumpet travels from a distance and sounds colliding and them telling stories too. Because a lot of this for me has to do with this kind of storytelling. And storytelling as a kind of archive as well. So we're constructing an archive. We're trying to be deliberate about the ingredients that we put into this music so that people are able to know how we lived. When I was young, I used to have these dreams where I saw things that could be referred to maybe in this day and age as unidentified flying objects, so to speak. But that time I had not watched TV, I didn't know about them. But in retrospect, I used to see a lot of these things. And I encountered a book called Indaba My Children, which is written by Credo Mutua. Credo Mutua speaks about UFOs in a kind of African context. And he says, to dream, which is in isiZulu, pupa, means to fly. And to be in a dream state, he says, is called ubuthongo, which means deep sleep. When I was given the gift of healing, I started encountering these kind of closeness between the dream state and my lived experience. The first dream that I was given for healing was I saw a group of healers, and they were dancing, and there was a lot of drums in a very deep trance. But they carried sort of like brooms. They had like a container with water which is very symbolic in James, of purity, is symbolic of a, you know, a new energy. So they dipped on this water and they were just like hitting different parts of my body with that. It wasn't painful. So when I woke up, I had blisters everywhere. I was very young. My mom was strictly Christian, so, and didn't want anything to do with things of the ancestors. On the other hand, from my father's side, they were more open to. So I spoke to my mom. She obviously just prayed for me and thought this was crazy. So I went to my grandmother from my dad's side. So when I started telling her about the dream, she asked me to describe the people I had seen. So when I described them, you know, saying maybe so-and-so had, you know, this kind of look, this kind of hair and a scar, she would say, that's Mamyandu. So these are the people she knew, but I was born after these people had left. I didn't know them yet. So I was describing them in terms of how they looked. I even described, because I remembered the song they were singing. I started thinking, well, there must be some connections to dream if there is such accuracy.
Oh,
there was a call from some of the elders. And this was the response from the rest of the congregation. And then from there it developed a lot of counterpoint, and to a point where even this theme at some point disappeared. Other themes emerged, which I unfortunately can't remember. And what's amazing now that, like, I've started playing this outside from where I am now, it just started raining and I had the sound of thunder as well. So that's the other thing about this kind of music, that it has a particular function. So these musics cannot just be performed, because they are cosmic codes and they are able within themselves to channel particular vibrations. And that's why healing is possible through this music. My grandmother told me that that was Gog Mamyandu's song that she sang years and years before I was born. So many years. I couldn't have possibly known the song. So then this whole thing of healing started to make sense. But obviously I was still living with my mother, and I had to ignore it for so many years. And people would know, especially the ones that read about African modes of, you know, ubungoma and healing, that if you ignore that kind of gift, the ancestors get kind of aggressive. So it is 2012, 2013, then I kind of lost my sight partially. And, you know, I thought, okay, well, maybe my eyes, I needed glasses or whatever. So I went to all kinds of specialists. It became a very expensive exercise. And eventually I called my uncle, who's a healer. I said, you know, I have this problem. And she says, well, it has to do with something that you've not done for so many years. So he helped me to sort of create a ritual. That's when listening to the ground, I started thinking about my dad record, Listening to the Ground, which came out in 2015. Listening to the ground is about this deliberateness, about listening to a voice of an ancestor, listening to Jim, paying attention to these dimensions. And when we describe actually an African cosmology in many cultures, we describe it in terms of the living dead, and the ones to be born. So it's always this triad, hence the pyramid. So this is a very important symbol in African traditions. So what it says is that all of these coexist. We need to have a kind of awareness about and a kind of readiness of the ones to be born, because they're there in space and we're welcoming them. So that has to be a deliberate act. But also the ones that live go to a particular dimension. Now coming to that song, Unyazi. So the song really explores how we could think about improvisation as a kind of divining, a divination, similar to in a traditional sense, we throw bones. The idea with throwing bones is not a complex thing, because people sometimes dramatize African traditions, but it's for me, it's just a technology where you use objects, you throw the objects and they give a particular meaning. Then when you have a gift, you read that meaning and give it to the person that you're trying to help. So I try to bring in those kind of things into my improvisation. So on Unyazi, I do this whole improvisation where it's like divining, where you're tapping into a kind of liminal space, as it's been described by so many writers that write about rituals. But a liminal space is the same thing that happens, for example, in initiation, where you have to be extracted from a given society and be moved to a space kind of isolated. And in that space, you have no name. You completely, totally submitting yourself to that moment. And when you come out with a different understanding of the truth. It's a similar thing that happens in improvisation. You bring in a theme that musicians know. We walk together into this space of the unknown, where this improvisation comes. And by the time we finish and we play the theme again, it's kind of a newer sort of understanding of the theme. So for me, I'm always looking for this space, this liminal space. And that song explores it in the most beautiful way. You'll hear when Logan Richardson takes an alto solo, he travels to other dimensions. So we walk into this journey following Logan and we come out and we're back on the theme. This album is my 9th album. It's the first album on Blue Note, which is exciting in many ways, because you think about the legacy. So the album is called Modes of Communication, Letters from the Underworlds. Letters from the Underworlds is basically trying to say that histories have a way of whispering in our ears. So all of these ancestors, Coltrane, Henderson, Makeba, Mselegu, have a way of whispering. And I use letters as a kind of metaphor to say, well, there's a kind of awareness that we need in order to play this music. The first track is called Yehlamoya. Yehlisanumoya. So Yehlisanumoya, it means bring down the spirit. It's a call to the ancestral spirit to sort of descend. We're going through so much, so we need more than our hands. We need more than our power. Thank you. So you just heard Yehlisani Moya, which is the first track of the record, opening track that features Omar Gugu on vocals. My name is Nduduzo Makatini, and you're listening to my music on The Checkout. John Coltrane's Attaining, which is a song that's borrowed from his album called Sonship, which is probably some of the last dates with the Classic Quartet. And this quartet and the music that they produced together has really been a very strong hinge and an inspiration and a kind of vortex where a lot of us on this side of the globe have drawn inspiration for many years. And just thinking quite deeply about, like, you know, definition and healing and what we refer to as Bungoma in Southern Africa. And I feel that if John Coltrane or even McCoy Tyner or Elvin Jones or Jimmy Garrison were born on this side of the globe, they would have definitely became Sangomas, in a sense that everything that they have played, at least for me, has a deeper sort of revelation deep within. And these revelations are new every time we encounter their music. So in the same way that the Sangoma throws bones to reveal meanings, I think John Coltrane and his group were projecting sonic layers and to sort of evoke certain revelations and new meanings that people could feel and hear in the sonics. So the last song that I'm going to present to you is a song called Umlota. And Umlota simply means ashes, which is something like symbolic about a kind of acceptance and a dissolving into a particular knowing of self into a new form. How do I project a healing energy and use my gift of healing in the music? So a traditional sangoma would use herbs. Go to the forest. In fact, you don't just go, you are directed to the forest and you create all of these herbal concoctions that will help people to heal. So that's at a physical level. But I'm also a musician, and so what does it mean to combine healing methods and music? We could think about sounds and keys and moods and textures that project direct sort of healing energy. So to say, if you have this kind of sickness, that's a song to listen to because of a kind of vibration that is channeled on that song. I try to suggest in my music, there's a need to repackage healing, there's a need to question how people evolve and how we've been moved to urbanization and what that means for a healer like myself. So I use music for healing, and I try to be more deliberate about what colors I use. These are the things that people feel when they listen to my music, and I feel myself as well. So the song Umlota represents that kind of energy where you're taken on this journey, a therapeutic sort of space. I think of Umlota as a kind of rainbow as well, where you have to allow a kind of lightness. You have to allow a deconstruction of yourself in order to heal.
Nduduzo Makatini on Blue Note Records, his debut, Modes of Communication, Letters from the Underground, coming April 3rd. And definitely check out the album before that too, it's magnificent. Dedicated to his practices in healing called Ikambi. And check out his blog too, called Revelations and Thoughts of NduduzoMakatini.com. Maybe you can go find some more healing vibrations, musically speaking, by going to our website at checkoutjazz.org. That's where we archive all of our shows. And of course, subscribe to the podcast. And, you know, if you have a chance to send us some good vibrations, write a review and tell us what you thought of this show, or any of our shows for that matter. And follow us on social media. We have videos that we will be continuing to release, and a lot of great shows coming your way in our moment of quarantine. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.